Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Montero, and today we're joined by Dana Melvin of Dana's Total Fitness in Hiram, Georgia. Dana, what's going on?
How you doing, Austin?
I am doing great, man. How are you? Appreciate you coming on today. Looking forward to our conversation.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's get after Dana. So Dana's Total Fitness. So you opened your business way back in 1990, right?
That's right.
And then you were up in Maryland. You moved down here to Georgia a few years after that, right? So let's go back in time to 1990, right? The early days. Good year. I know you're from New York, so Giants won the Super Bowl that year, which is pretty good year. To recall. And so that was a great year. But why, from a business sense, did you decide to open this gym back then and go down this road of, you know, entrepreneurship within the fitness world?
Right. Actually, I was going back to school, University of Albany.
Yeah.
And go back to school in Maryland. And I was working in a gym as a personal trainer. And they were charging $25 per session. And I was charged, it was split by $12. So yeah. I got $12. I said, man, if I do my own, I can keep all the money myself. So
yeah,
and I start from there.
Yep. I think we all kind of did the same thing, right? Like I have a similar story, you know, and then obviously once we get owning our own business, all these other associated costs, right, as you know, come with this thing. So I know you moved from Maryland to Georgia sometime after. So let's talk about your actual space there, where we are now in Georgia, the physical space. What made you choose the spot you're in? Was there any particular reason? Was it your model? Was it location? Was it the price of the building? What did that look like?
Yeah, it was like 1,500 square feet. It had a warehouse and it has an office and a little AC in there. It was close to my house, about 12 minutes to my home.
Nice.
And it was, the price as well was pretty good. So
for my
spot.
Yeah, it's perfect, right? Price is always a big thing. Location is a big thing. If it's close to a house, double plus, right?
Yeah.
Now, and I do like the industrial look. I think it's a cool look. I had the same exact thing. Do you have a garage door that you kind of pull up? All that good stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So when it's nice out, you know, you can open that door and people, I'm sure your clients love that, right? Get outside a bit, throw some kettlebells and stuff. So
yeah, all that being said, I have everything in there. I have all the life fitness equipment.
Nice.
Chest press, shoulder press, lat pull down, rowing.
Yeah.
Biceps, biceps, everything. And dumbbells from 5 to 100 dumbbells.
Nice.
And leg press and squats. I have everything in there and a full gym.
Beautiful. So everything you could possibly need to train your cardio. Clients. Love it. So as far as your model goes, Dana, what services there are you offering at Dana's Total Fitness for your clients?
Losing weight, gaining weight, we're ready for get married, or I would deal with kids as well. I'm a teacher as well.
Oh, okay.
Educator in health. Overall. So I get ready for football, basketball, and track.
Yeah. Okay, so are you still teaching currently?
Yeah, I do. I train it around in in a middle school. Here about 9 o'clock.
So
and I train after that.
So busy day. The days are busy.
It's a full day for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that, because that's unique, right? Obviously hard to do. I know I had a second job some of the time, right, with the gyms. So like, obviously teaching is a career, not just a job. You know what I'm saying? Give us like a view, man, of like what is like a day in the life for you, you know, during the school year, also running the business. What does a normal day look like?
Yeah. So I get up at 5 o'clock every morning.
Yeah.
I train my clients at sometimes maybe 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Okay.
7:30. And then I go to school. Actually, I drop my son to school to go to school. And then I go to school. And as soon as I school, I go to my gym.
Okay.
And I'm probably, it's all about my appointment. So I can be up to like 9, 10 o'clock. So
at night, man, it's a busy. Busy.
Yeah.
So I know you're doing personal training sessions and group training sessions.
Right.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've been a linchpin in the community, man, for a long time. So sure marketing has probably changed a lot over the years and the ways you get new people in the door. You know, talk to us about how you get new clients in the door on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely with the pandemic, now a lot of people don't want to come to the gym.
Yeah.
A lot of people on virtual things like that. So people are doing that still.
Okay.
Some people, like I have a doctor, she goes to work and that's it. So she doesn't go outside, so she'll do virtual.
Got it. Okay. So you've added the virtual piece to your business.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Of course, yeah,
I would do the screening with the temperature and all that. So
Yeah. Crazy time, right? You've been in the industry a long time. Never been anything like this, right?
As far as business
lockdowns and temperature taking, mask wearing, distancing, capacity issues, all these things. So I think something like almost 40% of gyms closed, which is crazy.
Right. My football player. In Florida, he was closed down for a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Terrible. Yeah, really rough stuff. So hopefully we're back to some, you know, normalcy now and everything. But as far as your client book on the personal training side, are you pretty much capped at this point for taking new people? Or are you still taking new clients?
I still do. Okay. When I was featured on Fox News, I
went to
the area. And so that got me a lot of clients that.
Yeah, it's
awesome. There. And then I have a lot of times too, the clients, they are actually advertised. You know, so they ask and say, hey, losing weight, what are you doing? So I got a trainer, you know, he can connect a number. So it's, you know, word of mouth.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, actually, there you go.
Yeah, sorry, man. I don't know what the heck's going on here. Jeez. Is your
No problem.
Yeah, is your connection all right? I know.
It should be good.
It was cool, right? Yeah. And so my Zoom just went off and it was spinning. Mm-hmm. And I was taking a picture of it and going to text you.
Just to tell you I didn't
go run away. I'm still here. Okay. But man, yeah. So yeah, we'll clean that up. That was weird. I don't know what that was. Anyway, I just blame Zoom. You know, it was Zoom's fault. So the last thing I got there was you were on Fox News, helped you get some clients. Right. So which is awesome, man. When did they feature you on that?
Oh, that was like 2007, I think. No.
Oh, cool. Beautiful. So that definitely helped you get clients. Mm-hmm. What have you done, like, say, in the last, like, this year in 2022? Are you doing anything on, like, social media or any other advertising along those lines?
Instagram, things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Mostly Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, like, organically, like, you're reaching out to people, or are you doing any of the paid advertising down there?
No, I just organic stuff.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And that's worked pretty well.
It does. I think, like I said, most of my clients, they reach out to other kids, my other clients.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? Cause
So a lot of referrals from other
referrals,
clients. Which is always great, man, for sure.
Exactly.
Now you do have a group training, group class component to the business, right?
Right.
When do you run those classes at night?
Tuesday, Thursday. Sometimes it's a little cheaper. My session is like $40 per session. Okay.
Nice.
Personal training, then the other, the group is $150
a month.
Yeah.
Nice. A month. Yeah.
So
I like that. Yeah. So you know, you have ways to get people in at a lower ticket with the group or a higher ticket with the PT, which is awesome. So, like,
exactly.
Flexibility kind of serve everybody, right? How have you gone about getting members into those group classes as far as from a marketing standpoint?
Just let me know that it's cheaper if you can't afford it. Get you in there as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Working with the group.
Yeah, no, I love it. Now you have the 1,500 square foot space, right? So you have a ton of great equipment there, which I love, man. Able to do a lot of things. And those machines are great too, like the ones you named off, especially if you have any injuries or anything, maybe a squat or deadlift yet, or you're working back to it, or you know the deal. So that's great to have that. What are the classes? Do you use the machines in the classes? Do you use other tools?
Outside too. We have
all
type of bands for the I'm gonna do the post rehab things like that.
Yeah,
with the bands, definitely do that.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Bands are cool. Outside is good. Group class is fun. So we have group class PT. Mm-hmm. Been there for quite some time, man. So with your members and clients that you've had, I'm sure you've had some clients for years and years and years, especially on the personal training side. Have you seen like a life cycle over these years to how long people stay for, any kind of trends that you've noticed in regards to that?
I think I have clients who, you know, they like to up and down. They lose weight and then they come back and they fall off and they come back again. So, but trying to maintain them. I think it was actually stay on top of them with texts, things like that.
Yeah. That's great, man.
I'll text them like every day.
You know, nice.
Just kind of personally, like, hey, what are you eating today? You know?
Yeah.
That's so key for them, you know?
It's huge, man. Yeah, it goes a long way. I think for retention too, for like you said, like we're talking about, for keeping them engaged. And for us as owners and coaches, like adds that layer of accountability, right? So they have to check in with us. And a lot of people are just looking for that part of the deal, which is awesome. Do you ever do any events or anything like that to keep the community kind of engaged?
I do a health fair. I have she was a massage therapist.
Nice.
Like a welfare. Fair.
Yeah, those are fun. And we used to do a lot of those too, man. I always noticed that the members that came to those things ended up staying much longer than people that didn't. So like, I love you doing that. I love you have, texting people with a cadence so they are accountable and they know that you care. Like we care as owners and coaches, which is great, you know, and awesome. So retention has been pretty solid. Now with PT and group, we have those two kind of members, right? Are there ways you can ascend each of those into basically spending more money with us on besides those two items, supplements, nutrition, merchandise?
I do like the meal plans, things such.
Yeah, nice.
Meal plans. I don't do any nutrition. I give them, I don't tell any nutrition, things like that. Yeah. But I recommend things like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then do you kind of make the meal plans for them?
Like I do, yes. Yeah. It's like 14-day plan.
Nice, awesome. And is that something that you're doing like individually for every person, or do you have a pre-planned kind of template that you need?
Pre-planned, yeah.
You don't have to recreate the wheel every time, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Which is huge, which is awesome. So what'd you say, Dane, as far as percentage of your clients' members that take advantage of that nutrition service? Because I think that's so important.
Yeah, actually, I talk to them every day.
Okay.
Every day. And when you're on the cardio, again, they start off with doing cardio. And so doing the cardio, like 10 to 20 minutes, we talk about cardio. All right, about your nutrition. You know, what are you eating? Not doing right. Maybe not eating enough. Things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's big part of this fitness and health thing, right? We can work out, but we need that nutrition piece there to get to the ultimate goal, obviously, right? So we've been in the community for a while, man. You've been an industry expert veteran for decades, right? At this point in time, man, what are you focusing on? Like, what's next for you and your business on the gym side of things? Where are you looking to kind of still push this needle forward?
I think I'm a former athlete myself. Bills on strike season, the 80s. Okay. So I'm dealing with a lot of athletes. I actually had a football player recently, but COVID messed them up with that, with the pro day. But I had good athletes I deal with all the time.
That's awesome, man. So to continue to work with them, right? And then tell us about, I know you mentioned to me off camera earlier, man, an idea maybe for like an expansion of the business with another facility type thing. Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah. It's like about 1,500 square feet.
Yeah.
Like maybe like, you know, six trainers within that gym.
Yeah.
Pay rent at the gym.
Yeah. So kind of like that barbershop model.
Yeah, exactly.
Takes you out of it. So they're paying, obviously they cover the rent and then you make the profit and everything else. Yeah. So that's cool. Always looking for growth, especially been in here 30 years, right? So where do you feel like your role with the business, you know, moving forward? Is this something you want to do for as long as possible? Do you ever see yourself taking a step back from your training role and maybe just hiring somebody and being a like CEO type position? Where do you see yourself moving forward?
Right. I have a trainer in my spot.
Nice.
So he's paying rent over there.
Okay.
Probably maybe two more people over there, my gym. And I may step back a little.
Yeah. Which is awesome, right? Because then it allows you some time to do other stuff, I guess, right?
Right,
like I've been there too, man. It's hard to step back sometimes, and like
you know,
we like training clients, we like being in the gym. It's nothing really like it that I've ever found. So like, when you get to that point, you know, down the road here, what do you think, how will your life change day to day from that point?
The people ask me all the time, well, you know, you're going to retire from this. I think forever, I think, you know, I've been doing it for, I started working out when I was 13 years old.
So, right.
You know, so that's part of my life.
Yeah. Do whatever it is, like brushing your teeth, right?
Same thing. Exactly. When you start retiring, you start dying. So, you know.
I agree. I have my grandfather's 96. He still goes to work every day. So he's a plumber. Awesome. So
oh my gosh, yeah.
If you stop, once the engine turns off, it's over, you know. You got to keep the engine running. But we talked about that. So that's kind of where we're going. It's a tough thing to kind of step away from, for sure. Like, you know, definitely don't have to by any stretch.
Right.
We went through COVID, Dana. We went through COVID. Obviously, a huge challenge. Any other challenges besides that that you're facing now, or have faced, or maybe foresee coming up here down the road to prevent you from any kind of growth?
I can't see right now. Things always come up. You know, sometimes you get nervous about, but you can work through it.
Yeah. Yeah, staying positive, right? Seeking opportunities.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And mindset's everything, right? As I'm sure you. Absolutely. Very cool. Yeah. So you said there, it cut out. You said you played for the Bills in 87?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. How did that experience help you with what you're doing now, what you've done since?
It really helped me start my gym, because that's some money on the side, you know.
Yeah.
I stacked my money. And when I came back and you know,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome, man. It sounds like a lot of fun. And what position do you play?
Receiver. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Cool. Yeah. That's fun position for sure.
Yeah.
That's cool. Very cool. So, no, man, that's awesome. And like, obviously working with a team is so important, and being in athletics, I think teaches us a lot about entrepreneurship in certain ways, you know, and especially in the fitness space. So, no, that's awesome, man. Really cool to hear that. I did not know that before we came on. So Dana, that is awesome. You have any clients tonight? You going back to the gym?
Yeah, I got 5:30, 6:30.
Beautiful. Love it.
I'm home from school right now. So
you got a tiny little, are you guys off for the summer yet or no?
Yeah. We'll actually come back the last week of July. So.
Oh, do you guys go back that early? But last week.
Yeah, we leave, get out of school at May, end of May.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Our kids just got out like last year. So.
Right.
But you got a nice little kind of some time off now to kind of focus on some other things, grow the business, focus on you, just chill for a minute, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So, Dana, man, I appreciate you coming on. I think it's a great place to wrap up this episode. Where, for the listeners, where can they find you, like website or any social media channels you may have or anything else?
Yeah. Instagram, Dana's D-A-N-A-S _ total fitness on Dana's _ fitness. I'm sorry. Dana's _ total.
Yeah.
_ fitness.
Got it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's Instagram, right? Same on Facebook.
Yeah. And just Dana Melvin.
Beautiful. All right. I'm going to write that down here. I'm going to give you a follow here once we get off, man. But Dana, hey, man, appreciate you so much for coming on. Awesome to talk to you. Been doing this since 1990, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And we wish you the best of luck, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Austin, so much. Appreciate it.
You got it. And listeners, we appreciate you guys as well. Please hit like and subscribe to be notified for future episodes. And until next time, Gym Lords, we are out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Alex Beck, and joining us on the show is Olusei Osinowa, aka OC, from CKO Roselle out of Roselle, New Jersey. What's going on, OC? Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
We're doing great, Alex. Thanks for asking. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How was my pronunciation right there? Did I get it down?
You did phenomenal. I was actually very well surprised.
There you go.
I've heard a lot worse, but it was almost there. You know, almost there.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it for today. Awesome, brother. I appreciate you joining today. Excited to have you on. But yeah, let's not waste any time here. How did you get started? What is it that made you want to start with opening your own fitness facility?
I've been in the fitness space pretty much all my life. I played sports, you know, growing up. I was a soccer player, then I became a football player, played some pro football. So I've always been into sports and fitness. And, you know, I became a personal trainer about I think it's about maybe almost 15 years now. And it was something that I was just very passionate about, and it's spreading fitness awareness, helping people achieve goals, fitness goals, body goals. You know, so it was just my love, you know. And so obviously the next logical approach is to have a facility where you could set yourself up and, you know, bring all the business to you and be comfortable and do your thing. You know, and so obviously opening up a facility was that way to go.
Cool. So I know you own two CKO kickboxing franchises, right? How long ago did you open that first one?
They've been up for a little while, but I just took over ownership about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how's that experience been for you, right? 1 year of gym ownership here, coming out of COVID.
It's first of all, I mean, I try to take everything with like optimism. You know, man, obviously it's not easy to own any kind of business, especially a business in an economy where there's just so many uncertainties. But I've tried to do everything with enthusiasm, whatever it is I have to do. And again, whether it's I'm having a tough time for, you know, with the cash flow for the month or whatever it is, or I'm teaching multiple classes a week because I'm short on instructors. I take everything with positivity and enthusiasm always, because this is my passion.
Yeah.
So I think the experience is fulfilling, you know.
And it's part of the road here, you know, bumps and roadblocks. It's always part of the road, stuff you're going to have to learn to overcome.
Right.
Now for you, you're on year one. What's been the most difficult or unexpected thing when it came to running your fitness facilities?
Personnel. I've been through a couple of trainers. Again, it's really hard for you to find that person that really is able to convey to that experience that you like for the members to get when they're taking a class.
Right.
So finding that instructor that could really just, you know, teach that class that again keeps that retention level high. You know, because right. People are like people get turned over very easily. You know. They come to a couple of classes and they don't have a good time. They don't like they don't feel challenged or whatever. They don't like the personality of the instructor. You lose members like that. So
right. The
hardest part for me, honestly, is personnel.
And how big is the team as of right now? How many other trainers do you have?
As of right now, I have two instructors. There's a third, but you know, I scheduled her to be off right now. So she's not really available, but I really have two other instructors right now. Well, they're great instructors, man. They're solid. People love their classes, so you know, I'm happy with that. But I definitely want to bring on more instructors to the staff. If I could use about like two more instructors, you know, so I don't have one instructor teach four classes in a week. You know, I keep everybody fresh. And again, it keeps the members happy too, because you're getting something different every time, you know.
And frees up your own time, right? You don't want to have to be in this position to where your business turns more into a job, right? Where you're training, having to train 8 hours a day.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of gets tiring, obviously.
Yeah.
But again, honestly, man, and what I've had weeks where I've had to teach them, they're like, you know, eight classes. And I just do it every time with gratefulness. Cause that's one thing I know, like, I know what I've been through. I know, you know, what it took for me to get to where I'm at today. So like, I just keep a very positive work attitude, man. You know, I don't think about it because I know that this is where I wanted to be, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So CKO Kickboxing out of Roselle. So let's see, how does, I know you guys offer mainly group training. You're also doing private training as well. What does that split look like to you? Are most people going to the group training classes? Are you able to fill up the private training the way you want to?
I think, so people like the group training classes. It fulfills a purpose. We do get people of like different fitness levels, probably more towards the beginner side. Right. So most people in that demographic are just, you know, they want to go to the gym, get a great sweat, you know, feel like a little burn, and that's pretty much enough for them. All right. So that's the first thing. So people are pretty satisfied with the group classes. Now, with the one-on-one training, got to realize that location, finances, and a lot of things that go into play when you're talking about doing the group class and also paying extra for personal training. So it's right. A little bit tough for that just because of that fact. I'm staying busy, you know, but people, you know, the majority of people aren't doing one-on-one, you know, one-on-one training.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's more so the demographic or the pricing, or is it, you know, lack of offering that service to your members? Because a lot of people, you know, they forget to even offer that higher level service because they assume that everyone's going to go straight into group training.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a reluctance to really like pushing that side because again, I understand because it is a demographic, it is a location, you know. I think, not to say, you know, people in that demographic don't spend money on training, but it is a little bit of a luxury item for whoever's going to pay for that. So for a person that's in a beginner level, right, which is, again, what the majority of people in my classes are, it's a hard sell for you to tell them, well, in addition to doing this class that's already kicking your ass, go pay for a one-on-one training.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. They don't see the need yet.
Have you ever thought of maybe pushing more towards like a semi-private or small group model, right? To where you're able to basically give them that personal training, one-on-one type experience, you know, 3 to 4 people per class, but you are able to charge more because it is a better level of service.
So, yeah, but the gym is a kickboxing gym. So again, it's a group class with a personal feel because you have the members on their backs and you're walking around and you're kind of like motivated each and every single person in the class. Okay. So there's almost like a personal touch to it there. So it's the class serves the purpose of that end. Now, if I wanted to go a little bit further than that, I maybe offer like it maybe our smaller group where strength training, which is what we actually in the works of. Which is like a small, like, you know, 5 to 6 people in a group and then just focus on strength training as it relates to, you know, to kickboxing.
Okay.
And we'll be incorporating a lot more, like more resistance, like resistance training and so on. So, yeah, so that'll be something that we're going to be working on, you know, offering.
Okay. So CKO Roselle, I know you're sitting at about 100 members right now. What's the other location look like? Where are you at with membership at that one?
So, truthfully speaking, the other location is currently like temporarily closed.
Okay.
Just again, and the reason why it's closed is really the same thing about the whole staffing issue. You know, that location was a little bit more affluent, a little more disposable income, bigger class. You know, so it was doing okay.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. So you did tell me you want to see a little bit of membership growth, at least at the Roselle location, right? What does that really look like to you? What's that goal number for you that not only puts you in a good position, but the business as well?
I think 500 members would be like where we want to be, you know. Okay. And provided, you know, we have the personnel to offer the classes as well.
Right.
So we're not there yet. But yeah, if all things being, you know, working out the way they should, we'd have 500 members and we'd have at least about like 5 to 6 instructors just rotating, you know, teaching maybe like, you know, 3 classes every week individually.
Okay.
You know.
Cool. So Let's see here. So what type of things are you actively doing right now to aid that growth process to eventually hit that 500 member mark?
So, you know, again, the first thing though is member retention, serving the members, continue to offer them that quality that they like, that they're going to go out and speak to their friends and the family members about and bring them in. And then I'm also ramping up the marketing part, just getting out there. I know there's a street fair happening this weekend. We're going to go out to give out flyers. You know, we're going to set up a booth, packages, deals, you know, first time members, you know. So those are the two things that we're doing again. Member retention and ramping up that market, getting out there, letting people know that we're there. Because, you know, I think a lot of people in the area actually really thought that gym was still closed because it closed down when the pandemic started. Yeah, so I think people just didn't know that we opened back up yet, which is funny because, you know.
And have you ever dove into or thought about trying any type of, like, digital marketing, like, you know, Facebook ads, Instagram ads?
Yeah, we do that. We have an Instagram page, also Facebook. We do Google marketing as well, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Do you guys do that in-house, or do you have, like a team who helps you out with that as well?
There's a company that we work with that handles that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what's that look like to you? How many leads are you able to get, you know, on
a good amount of leads, maybe like 5 leads every week.
Okay. Know? Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And so cool. So what is your, you know, your sales process kind of look like from there? Let's say it's myself, right? And, you know, I'm interested in what you have going on. Maybe I see you guys on Instagram, Google, Yelp, or something like that. What's your process from turning me into, from an interested lead into a paid member?
So we got the hit, we got the lead email or a message. There's a lead page. You know, so you see, you know, the lead page, tell, you know, it also shows you, like, you know, like their question, because a lot of times when people go, find us on Google, they go to the website, and there's a place where they can, like, you know, ask a question, like, hey, what's your price and stuff like that. So when we get the lead email, it has all of that. So what we do is we reach out to them, you know, send them all the information about our memberships, the different packages. I try to get them on the phone, you know, offer them like a free day pass, like, hey, come check out the gym, you know. We have a starter pack, which is like a trial pack, where you could get 3 classes and a free set of gloves, and that's pretty cheap, you know, without a commitment. So people usually jump on that and try out the gym. You know?
Okay.
Then after that point, our goal is to try to, you know, convince them in 3 classes that they should join, become a member.
So cool. So if it's myself, basically you kind of get me on the phone, get me booked for a free class. I come and take a couple free classes, and then from there you try to make the sale.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So do you have any of your trainers partake in that process as well, or do you handle all the sales yourself?
No, all our trainers are pretty much knowledgeable about the marketing process and how to sign people up. So, you know, we actually try to offer incentives to all the instructors, you know, to go to approach like any first timers. Because you could see like it was on a trial pack, you know, so you know what that person is. Well, all the instructors are supposed to go approach him, talk to him after the class, like, hey, listen, how'd you like the class? What do you think about it? So are you ready to sign up? You know, and try to get him to, you know, become a member of it, join the family.
And do you track your conversion rate for that? Like, so for the 5 leads you get on a weekly basis, out of those, how many are you able to close?
I think 50%, you know. I think the main thing is really just trying to get people to come into the gym. Like, 9 out of 10 when they come into the gym and they try one of our classes, like, they join.
Okay.
You know, now, if they're undecided, what they tend to do is they do the no contracts. So we have 2 kinds of memberships, one with a contract and one without a contract.
Okay.
So I send them to getting people that are more interested in the no contract than getting locked in on the 12-month contract.
Of course, right.
Which I mean, okay. Which is funny because it's like $30 higher.
There you go. I sneezed right there. Luckily, I muted myself in time. Okay, well, awesome. So for you, you'd say the focus is less so, you know, your sales process is pretty good. When people get in the door, it's more so finding a way to get some more people shoveling in on a consistent basis. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Awesome. So another thing I like to touch on, I know a topic that we spoke before the podcast was wanting to figure out how to maybe add some extra layers of service or figure out ways to make more money per customer. What does that look like? Do you guys offer any type of nutrition, accountability programs?
That's definitely something that we're also working on. We do offer customized meal plans for members that are interested.
Okay.
And they get a discounted rate for that. You know, we also offer the personal training, but it's just, you know, just a matter of like who's interested and who's not.
Yeah.
You know,
Okay. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, nutrition and accountability is huge, and it blends with that, you know, client retention that you want too, right? Because at the end of the day, I always tell people as, you know, fitness business owners, we don't necessarily sell fitness. We more so sell results. We sell a lifestyle, a way to reach their goals, right? So if you have those extra services that help them reach their goals, it just, you know, helps them be happy with the service they're getting. It helps with client retention and so forth. I've even heard of some kickboxing gyms who, you know, they'll have nutrition and accountability virtually, right? So people pay for a little extra more to get this higher layer service. And what they'll do is have nutrition and accountability run through apps. So they have apps like MyFitnessPal, TrainerRise, where they're giving them daily meals, a weekly grocery list, and daily workouts from when they're not at home. So just smart ways to kind of diversify as well. But cool, OC. So another question that I like to ask here, if you could have a magic wand, right? Let's say like a magic business wand, you could have your business be in the exact position that you want it. What would that really look like to you?
It looked like, you know, getting my membership up to the number that's optimal. Again, I think, you know, I think my result location right now, the goal will be 500 members. And then also obviously getting the staff, the personnel up to par, you know, get a good rotation of about maybe 5 or 6 trainers.
Yeah.
Routinely. And being able to like, you know, optimize like the upsell, like so whether it's what I want pad work or, you know, personal training or nutrition, you know, so if all those wheels are turning, I think I'd be like the perfect scenario.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you think is like the biggest bottleneck that's holding you back right now from being able to see the type of membership growth that you want?
I think there's really nothing holding back. I think it's a work in progress. You know, we've grown from where we started, where we were when we first started out. When we opened up our doors last year, February. So, man, since then, we've grown the membership. You know, we've done what we were in the beginning of last year. So I don't think there's really anything holding us back. I think it's just time and effort, you know, and we put in the effort every day.
I agree. Okay. And yeah, I mean, getting to that 500 member mark would help a lot. And that's a huge jump too, right? Do you think that there's anything that you have to add on or maybe get better at to be able to hit that 500 member mark?
I think if we just keep doing what we're doing right now, I think we'll be fine. We'll get there slowly but surely, you know. I do definitely want to do a little bit more community outreach programs, just be more at, like, you know, more events. I mean, even think about it. So we opened up last year in February, which is pretty much like in the beginning of, like, you know, the quarantine period. So pretty much all of last summer, people were still shell-shocked. Like, there were no street fairs. You know, there weren't, you know, you weren't really going to gatherings to go, like, try to give out flyers and things like that. It was just the way, like, that you get a lot of members sometimes. You know, going to the street fairs and going to, the, like, you know, schools, high schools, to go do, like, a little event there. You weren't doing all that stuff last year. So this is, like, the first summer where we have, you know, open range to, like, you know, do as much as we can to really ramp those numbers up. But even withstanding that, we're still growing since from last year.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So OC, we know what you want for your business now, right? We know you obviously have a big passion for not only the service you provide and the team you have with you, the team you hire, you know, what you're offering to your members here, but what is it that you want from the business, right? What do you want CKO Kickboxing to give back to you and your family at the end of the day?
It's already giving back to me, you know, which is the fitness lifestyle that I want to live, you know. Yeah. I think that in itself is like, you know, so rewarding, quite priceless. You know, the flexibility to spend time with my family. Like, I'm home right now, you know. Yeah, my son is in school, but, you know, like, you know, I get to hang out with my daughter. I love my daughter, you know, my wife. She also works from home. So I think that flexibility to just be able to make my own schedule pretty much and, you know, live life on my own terms, that's like fulfilling in itself, you know. Obviously, you know, I need to earn some sort of living so I could, you know, pay my bills and keep a roof over my head. So obviously I want money coming into the business to be able so that I could live comfortably, you know.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I think that's a pretty good spot to start to wrap things up on this episode, OC. But before we do head out of here, please give a shout out to your, you know, your website, Facebook, Instagram, anything, just so the listeners could find some more info on you and your gym.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? OC here. Listen, we're out there, CKO Rozelle, Rozelle, New Jersey, 711 East 1st Avenue. Follow us on Instagram at CKORozelle.com, Facebook at CKORozelle. Come through, come check us out. Check out our website, CKORozelle.com. You know, click on the membership specials page. You see a bunch of packages. You can get jump in our triple pack, three classes and a free set of gloves. Come through, try it out. I'm sure you're gonna love it. All right.
Yes, sir. You guys, make sure you check them out. We got OC here from CKO Kickboxing out of Rozelle, New Jersey. I appreciate you once again. And as for the listeners here, don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you are interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on PrestigeLabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I'm here with Mike, who is the president and head coach of Fernie Old School Boxing in British Columbia, Canada. What's up, Mike? How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Awesome. Doing well. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All righty. So let's waste no time here getting into the details. How did you get started in Fernie Old School Boxing? What is the story there?
The story, myself and my then very young kid were walking down the street and we met a guy doing some construction on our house. And my kid wanted to look at the tools in his trailer. And the guy there looked me up and down and just said, "Do you box?" And I said, "No, I played 35 years of rugby, did a lot of boxing on the rugby part." And he just said, "Well, you should come down my club and check it out." And that's what I did. I did do some boxing back in the UK as part of my rugby training. And got into the club 12 years ago, never looked back. It was exactly what I needed to release the demons I had from my own consulting work at the time. Mm-hmm. Smashing a bag is very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And as time progressed, he got very busy with his own work. He had to have hip replacements and basically cut into the chase. 2 years later, I'd completed my boxing coaching courses and took over the club from him in around about 2011. So I've now been president and head coach there for pretty much 12 years. That's how I got into it in Little Fernie.
That's awesome. So it's kind of something that almost fell in your lap. Like it was kind of like meant to be, you know?
Yeah, fate, yeah. Whatever. It was exactly what I needed at that point in my life. You know, I'd spent nearly 30 years behind a desk in one form or another. Mm-hmm. Been very active. There was no rugby team in Fernie at that time. So I was struggling to find some form of contact sport. I don't skate or ice skate very well. So the Canadian ice hockey wasn't one of my No. So it was fate. Yeah, for sure. And it worked out pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So now as far as the business model goes or the structure within the gym itself, how are you structuring things? Are you doing group classes, one-on-one, semi-privates? What do the offerings look like?
Yeah. It's kind of a pre and post COVID environment we have at the moment. Pre-COVID, we were running three classes a week, group classes for mixed abilities. We had a lot of requests for a female women's only class, which we did trial. It was relatively successful. We also run kids classes. They've been very successful. And then we do offer, myself and one of the other coaches, we do offer privates one-on-one should not everybody's comfortable in that group environment for whatever reason. And wherever possible, we will run the one-on-ones if that fits in with our schedule and the client's schedule. Mm-hmm. And then post-COVID, you know, we were restricted on numbers as one of the COVID regulations. You know, we were in the square footage of our classroom. We could only have 12 clients in there, as opposed to, you know, in the wintertime here in Fernie, we can have upwards of 30 people in the same room, you know, so it hit pretty hard. We're now back to being unrestricted. It's just, I think there is still some tentativeness out there. It is a contact sport. So you are, at some point, you are becoming up close and personal with other members in the gym. If you are, you know, even on the workout, not even sparring, you know, when we're doing the glove work, mitt work, or sharing a heavy bag with another member, you are close. Mm-hmm. It's picking up this time of year. Summertime, nobody wants to be in a basement, you know, mountain biking, fishing, camping, all that good stuff. Mountain stuff does come into the play. A lot of gyms in this area, all boxing clubs, martial arts clubs, do shut down for those summer months. We're trying to keep open just to mm-hmm. supplement our income. But yeah, so those are the group classes. It's a group and single classes. It's been relatively successful, so we hope that format has worked for us.
Got it. Okay. And as far as numbers go, membership numbers, are you back up to pre-COVID numbers or?
No, we're missing that. Those winter numbers I mentioned there, upwards of 30. It's in the winter, it is a transient community. You know, we get a lot of people from around the world here to work that ski season here in Fernie. So a lot of those people may start to come in September. They're stuck for a few things to do. So one of the things they look at is getting fit. They come to, we're probably one of the cheapest options in town for a workout. So we do get that influx of numbers around that time. You know, as I said, we last 3 years, the travel restrictions with COVID have hit us, and also the ski hill for employment. So I'm hoping this year we might get to see those numbers again as the travel restrictions are lifted. You know, mm-hmm. So fingers crossed we don't get another surge in COVID and all the rest of it. I hate using that word, but it's mm-hmm. still out there, right? So
yeah. And as far as actually getting the word out there to let people know that you're there, the services that you provide, how do you approach that? What does marketing look like? What does advertising look like? How are you getting people in the doors, essentially?
Yeah, social media has always been, over the more recently, has been key to a lot of our advertising. There's a local press here. There's a weekly newspaper. We will throw adverts in there. We normally throw one in kind of at the end of August just to remind people that we are there. We get a discount for that as we're a non-profit club. Mm-hmm. So we'll take any discount we can. So we get that. We'll advertise that. And then word of mouth, we're kind of low key. We do have a website that, to be honest, has fallen with social media overtaking websites. And that seems to be the case in a lot of areas. We do get some referrals come in, the contact us comes directly to me. It probably is due for a revamp, to be perfectly honest, big update. But the website's out there. But I think social media, the Facebook, Instagram is where most of our advertising is done through. It seems to work, seems mm-hmm. to reach a lot of people. I think Facebook was the baby. It's kind of gone out of favor. Maybe it's coming back around again. I don't know. But
I mean, Facebook is still the best converting platform right now within the market. So yeah, that's still kind of where it's at. And now, are you doing paid advertising through Facebook and Instagram? No, okay.
We don't. Not that I don't get pinged nearly every day on the Facebook. Oh, you know, reach your audience further for an additional $5 or $10 or whatever it is. I've not tried that. Just as we are a non-profit, I don't like dipping into the unknown, and probably I would have to speak to the board about, you know, even if it is $10, you know, about whether we do that or not.
Right. Yeah. And that's typically boosting a post, and that typically doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. But paid advertising campaigns are where it's at, because you can set those up, you can target properly, you know, you can speak specifically to who it is that you want to come into the gym. They can click, fill out a lead form, give you all the information that you need. So that's typically where it's at, as opposed to boosting a post for $5 to $10. You know, that usually promises that, okay, we'll get you in front of whatever it is, 200,000 eyeballs. But it's like, cool, are those people actually interested in boxing? Yeah. You know, because it doesn't really matter if you show a bunch of people that aren't interested, right? It's like we want to show it to the right people.
Yeah.
So a lot of people kind of get hung up on that and boosting posts, and then they decide that like Facebook advertising doesn't work.
Right.
But it's
the wrong one.
Yeah. Right. That's the wrong approach. The advertising through Facebook, again, best converting platform still to this day, Instagram, Google, that's where you can really reach the masses, you know, because word of mouth is fantastic, but it's limited. You know, there's only so many people in that pool that you're pulling from. So if you can have multiple poles in the water as far as how many people you're actually reaching in different platforms to reach them on, then that sets you up for the most success.
Okay.
So now, as far as key challenges or bottlenecks within the business, I always like to ask about this, because typically there are challenges along the way. There are bottlenecks within the business that are grabbing a lot of our attention. So are there any challenges right now or any bottlenecks within the gym that you're really working on right now?
Yeah, we've got a couple, before we went live, I think I touched on a couple of them. Our main challenge at the moment is our actual space that we have available to us. We're on the main street in Fernie. You could actually walk past us and not even know we're there. So it's almost like the film Fight Club. You know, there is a fight club in Fernie, but nobody talks about it. And you can walk past it without even knowing it's there. You know, we do use that term with some irony, you know, and it's a double-edged sword. It's kind of cool to have that, but in the same breath, it's not doing anything for our numbers and our income, which we need to cover the rent. The actual location, yeah, it's downtown on Main Street in Fernie, but it's in a basement underneath one of the bigger buildings there. But we're restricted on the opening times of those commercial spaces above us, which is essentially shops. I think there's a hair salon behind and a couple of other things there. So between the hours of 9 and 5, 9 and 6, we can't operate, which in a ski town, which is a lot of people are employed in the service industry, the bars, the restaurants, the retail shops. And, you know, they want to be able to come to a lunchtime or a daytime session because they're working in the evenings in the restaurants, and we can't do that. The noise that we generate, bag workouts, you know, always need music, as you probably know yourself. Yeah. You need something to get you going. And the beat timer it's all noise. Which travels through upstairs, so we can't operate. So that's one of the challenges we have. And sometimes one of the other challenges we do find is retention of clients. It's cyclical. It would be great if we could keep those winter numbers that we have for the entire 12 months of the year, but it just doesn't happen. It's seasonal. For want of a better word, you know, we get all the people coming in for the winter to work the ski hill and whatever. And then come the summertime, we're in a sweaty basement gym. When it's we're in a mountain time, but we get temperatures in the mid 30s, touching the 40s in the summer. When that happens, nobody wants to be in that sweaty gym. They want to be out in the river or fishing, mountain biking, camping or whatever for, yeah, and, you know, we have those kids classes that I also mentioned before we went live there. They get well attended, but just trying to keep that interest going for more than 1 or 2 months. But I think that's the nature of that kind of age group, that they love it for a month or so and then something, you know, butterfly, and off they go and find something else to do, you know, and just keeping that interest going. You know, we get a... something that we do a big charity event. It's one of the biggest events in town. It's a big show. We'll probably talk about that later, but immediately after that event, we get a surge of people coming down for maybe a month or so just to come and check us out or whatever. That peters off a bit, but yeah, it's, I guess those are the two main challenges that we have at the moment.
Okay. And as far as the retention goes, so are you offering any other services to your clients, like nutrition, accountability, anything of that nature that kind of provides another level of value for them? Because typically, I mean, when people see results, that's what makes them stick around for long periods of time.
Yeah. I think that's A, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. I totally understand what you're saying. And those people that do come down the club for whatever reasons, like we had a couple of guys come down, they were seriously overweight and they came down, they tried various other things at gyms and, you know, they probably changed some of that fat to muscle, but they weren't seeing any serious changes? I said, well, you've got to be serious. And they actually stuck with us for 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And they were really amazed by purely the workout that we were offering at the boxing gym, which was different to just pushing weights in your standard gym. Because as you know yourself from your background, it's a lot of cardio work. We do a lot of cardio work, and that's, you know, and we always say at the start of any class, go at your own pace. Don't kill yourself on the first class. We want you to come back. That's what these two guys did. And the weight loss and the whole change in physique and demeanor and their mental state was, in that 6 months, totally changed. And it was really good to see. They still come down. But I think it works. Offering a nutrition is, yeah, for sure, is the right route. But you also need a buy-in from your clients coming down, that it's not going to be overnight. You know, you watch these weight loss programs, reality TV shows on program where 1 week they're this and then they flip back and the next week. That's not reality. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people, I think, have that mindset that they believe that garbage on the TV, to be honest. It's not. It's a long process, but mm-hmm. it's got to be dedicated and committed. But those two are the same words, I guess. So right. it works both ways for sure.
Yeah.
But no, we haven't. Maybe that is an option we could go down. Again, you know, I think in Fernie, there are a few nutritionists that we could work with because, to be brutally frank, I just haven't got the time to, even as much as I'd like to myself, from my own knowledge, I just haven't got the time to do that.
Right.
At the moment, and time is another issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, industry average typically for clients sticking around is 3 to 6 months, which is not a long time, you know, and usually we're not ever profiting off of those clients, you know, because usually, you know, when we're talking about for profit, we're typically spending money to acquire clients, and then they're only sticking around for long periods of time. And usually it's costing us more to acquire the client than they're ever paying over the lifetime of their membership. Yeah. But when we start to see changes in how long people are sticking around, typically it's because there's nutrition, there's accountability, there's a higher level of service and value for the client, which in turn also allows you to charge more for the membership. And when people pay more, they pay more attention as well, yeah. Right? So it's like they're showing up, they're sticking to those meal plans, they're being held accountable, and then they're getting the results that they're looking for. So those results make them want to stick around longer, you know, but that's something that is faced across the industry. You know, like I said, the average is 3 to 6 months, which is not a long time. And that's constantly requiring you to go out and find new people.
Yeah, it's definitely a churn situation there for sure.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, if you can get into a situation where you can plug that hole in the bucket, I mean, it's much cheaper to keep a client than it is to acquire a new one. Yeah. Right. So it's like multiple ways to grow a business. We can get more clients. We can get them to pay more by providing them higher levels of service, and we can keep them longer.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always have to be about bringing new people in the door. Obviously, it's nice to have a balance across the three ways there. So now, as far as goals go for you within the business, I keep calling it a business, but I mean, it is a business essentially at the end of the day.
Yep.
So what are the goals? Where are you looking to take it? Where are your main focuses? Kind of give us a picture there of where you're looking to go.
Yeah. I think we touched on one of those restrictors for us, which is the space we are currently in. It's yet another double-edged sword. Commercial space and rent here is hard to find, and B, good old ski town prices. It's like being downtown Vancouver as regards the cost of square foot, you know. Probably looking at around about 15 to 18 bucks a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that's a lot of money. Currently where we are, it's a basement which can't be used for retail. It's effectively storage. I think in another area, there's a band using it as a rehearsal studio, and we're in there doing what we do. Whether it's up to code, I don't know. I don't care. But it's a reasonable rent. It's pretty much since I started in 2012 there, 2011, it's more than doubled in rent since we first started, but our actual cost of coming to our club has remained pretty consistent. So that's a challenge. And as I mentioned, to get those numbers and to do those other classes effectively, we can't remain in that space. So where I would like to be is in a space where we're not restricted on those numbers. Recently, we have looked at a space. It's huge. It's again, it's a basement area, but without the restrictions of those that we have with the actual retail spaces above us. And it's 6,000 square feet as opposed to our 1,250, but the rent is the same, if not cheaper. But it's raw. It's a raw space. So we've looked at it. It's probably going to be around $50,000, $60,000 worth of work to get it to where we want it. However, we've recently had inquiries from a couple of people wanting to share our current space for jiu-jitsu. We had an inquiry for some guys doing taekwondo. So in my vision would be to set up the Fernie Fight Club in that space and effectively create a dojo whereby we would have multi-disciplined classes. If I can get a hold of the karate guys, because they're all using community spaces, whether it's at a school, whether it's at a hall or whatever, where after every class they have to pack all their all their stuff away and all the rest of it for another week, and then set it all up for the next class. And you know, and that's one of the options we looked at, and we just thought, no, we can't be doing that twice a week, three times a week. And the space will be big enough, you know, where we could box out a few rooms where you could have a completely matted room with the mats down for the jiu-jitsu, karate, taekwondo, or the judo. You know, the jiu-jitsu, judo room could be one of the same, because grappling, for want of a better word, and maybe the karate taekwondo guys and the boxing guys, we can all share that same space. We could put another room in there where maybe somebody who's looking for a yoga space or Pilates space can operate in there. That's my vision. And then you come again, something we touched on before we went live, then we come to a huge crossroads into what the club is,
right?
And that's where do you cross over that bridge and become a business or remain nonprofit? And that's a huge thought process that we have to go through. As soon as you turn that into a business, the donations from other businesses in the community dry up because you are a business rather than a nonprofit. The grant funding falls away because the grant funding is pretty much prime, whether it's government or wherever it's from. The BC Lottery do a lot of funding for sports and stuff in the communities. That would fall away because that's all nonprofit. I'm sure you're well aware that all the granting is pretty much for nonprofit. So we would have to, you know, to cover that $50,000, $60,000 workload, where do we find that money from effectively? Because we just cover rent and ability to buy a bit of equipment or whatever when it gets completely trashed. That's kind of where the club is at the moment. We do our big charity show, maybe, you know, for this one year when we actually get that doing. We normally raise around about $20,000. Do we state that this time, this year, it's staying within the club because we are looking to expand and do it that way. You know, that's another thought. So yeah, it's really exciting. One of our other members who is in construction, he came down. He's one of our key men. He was super excited. He couldn't get over the space, but it's not going to happen overnight. And yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a lot of decisions to be made on that front as well.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. It's kind of, like you said, like a crossroads. And as soon as you started talking about that and potentially bringing other businesses in, that was like my first thought was, you know, most of those businesses, if not all of them, are probably for profit.
Yeah.
You know, so that also kind of changes the dynamic there. Because if they're in the same building as you, you know, then it's like, it's going to be kind of like, well, why are they nonprofit and you're not, you know, or vice versa, you know? So it kind of complicates things a little bit, you know? And also, you know, making your facility itself appealing to other businesses, you know, to make them
exactly
want to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's a raw basement. It would have to be completely fitted out. It's, you know, it's basically, it's studs.
Studs, right, yeah, wow.
but with that, it's whatever we want it to be then, you know.
Right.
It's a blank canvas.
Right. That's the nice part about it. You know, you can make it what you want. Yeah,
what we want. But it's a lot of work. But then, you know, none of us are afraid of work. It's just time frames and whether that works with the landlord.
Lots of interesting
times for sure.
Yeah, lots of things kind of up in the air. Lots of decisions to be made. So
yeah.
Awesome. All right. So one thing I always like to ask at the end here as we start to wrap up is if you could provide a piece of advice to somebody who is considering getting into something like this, kind of going their own way, doing their own thing, what would that be? What's one of the most important things that you've learned over your time in this industry?
Put your big pants on and go for it. You won't regret it. Don't be afraid of the work. It is hard work, but for me, the feeling of payback that you're giving to the payback I'm giving to the community and the reward, personal rewards, it's not monetary. I get back from it is just, it's an incredible feeling. You know, those charity shows we do, the kid that comes down the club is being bullied the hell out of at school. And you see the whole mental and physical change in that kid after a couple of months of coming down the club. It's something that you can't, I find it hard to put into words, but it's totally worth it. When you're, particularly over the COVID times, you know, we were allowed to open, weren't allowed to open. When you're a person who has effectively saved someone's life, it's humbling and rewarding.
Absolutely.
A whole host of emotions. It's a business, but it's a lot more. What we do in the boxing world, the boxing community, it's a whole lot more than just running a business.
I completely agree. You know that the fulfillment that you gain from helping other people completely change their lives, save their lives, change their lives, you know, and it affects so many other aspects of their lives as well. You know, it's not just about in the gym. It's what happens outside of the gym as well, and their confidence and their mental state and, you know, just the developments that happen in the gym just translate into so many other aspects of their lives. And it's very cool to see that transition happen for people. And that's really what it's all about. You know, the reward there on and helping somebody do that is, like you said, it's hard to put into words. And I can completely relate to that. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. All right. So now, as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
Yeah, it's quite easy. Funny Old School Boxing on Facebook. That's where we are. We are in the process of getting an Instagram account up, so it will be the same. It will be Fernie Old School Boxing Club on Instagram. Maybe we might put some live video up there of what the classes look like and our sparring sessions as well. We've got a couple of fighters out in Kelowna at the end of the month, so it's good to get back out there fighting for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah.
Definitely. All right. So Mike from Fernie Old School Boxing in British Columbia, Canada, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been so great having you on the show.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate Absolutely. It. Thank you.
Absolutely. And to all the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there. We'll catch you on the flip side. Jim Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.